I'm Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 19 of the Punks in Suits podcast. Thank you very much for joining me this week. Today's episode is about shoulds and shouldn'ts, and I want to talk to you about four kinds of shoulds and shouldn'ts in this episode. It's quite a short one because there's not that much to say about it, but I think it's worth talking about, partly because I've noticed a lot of my clients over the last couple of weeks, a lot of my coaching clients, carrying quite a lot of shoulds and shouldn'ts that we are starting to expose. But also because I've had my own challenges over the last week with quite a big should, or in fact, shouldn't. So let's start with the first kind of should or shouldn't, which I'm calling a doing should. So here are some examples of doing shoulds. I should go home at 6 o'clock, or I shouldn't go home at six. I should stay until 10. I should go to that meeting. I shouldn't have to do this at this point in my career. I should do what my manager tells me to do. I should take on board the feedback that my team has given me. So these are all examples of shoulds and shouldn'ts that have got to do with doing something or not doing something. And they normally come from a couple of places. They come from assumptions. So an assumption that if someone gives you feedback, you must take it on board. So that's an assumption. Actually, there's nothing to say that you should take it on board. It's just feedback, it's just data. You can, if you want to, you don't have to. There's no should about it. So sometimes these shoulds come from assumption, and sometimes they come from our sense of duty or obligation. I should go and visit my aunt and uncle this weekend. I should go to the wedding of this lady that I don't much like. These are shoulds and shouldn'ts that come from a sense of duty and obligation. The thing to notice about them is that because they're based on duty, obligation, or assumption, there's nothing true about them. And it's worth, as a leader, when you notice that you are shoulding on yourself in this way, should do or shouldn't do something, asking yourself whether it's duty or obligation, whether it's assumption, and in any case, whether that means that you need to comply. What you do when you ask yourself this question is that you turn it from an obligation or a duty or an assumption into a choice. Instead of I should go to the meeting, it becomes I'm choosing to go to this meeting. Instead of I should stay late, it's I'm choosing to stay late. Or instead of I should stay late, it is I'm choosing to go home. By seeing it for what it is, a duty or an obligation or an assumption, you get to make a choice about it. So that's the first kind of should or shouldn't, the doing should or shouldn't. The second kind of should is a being should or shouldn't. And being shoulds and shouldn'ts have got to do with how you're behaving, the situation that you find yourself in, or how you're feeling. So some examples. I should be able to handle this. I should be further ahead in my career. I shouldn't be finding this hard. I shouldn't be feeling stress. These shoulds and shouldn'ts are a little bit more difficult to notice because they do lie more under the surface. They are deeply held beliefs that sit right at the core of our existence often, and we've carried them for a very long time without really understanding that they are simply that, beliefs, not truths. And the problem with them is that we're piling a should on top of an already difficult situation. So as some of you know, I am moving house. We are eventually going to buy a small holding. We're going to have some animals, a bit of land, probably a house that needs quite a lot of renovation. So the first stage is to move out of the house that we're in at the moment and move into another house that my parents own. So we're going to do that so we can put our house on the market and so that we have somewhere to live once we've sold this current house. But it's a little overwhelming. There's a bit of packing to do. There's a little bit of organizing to do at the other house to make sure that it's ready for us to move into. And this is on top of my travel schedule and running my business and taking care of my clients and just the normal everyday things of life. And this week I went to the other house and started packing things up into boxes from there, things that we need to get rid of. And I started feeling a little overwhelmed. Not only was I overwhelmed by how much there was to do and having to make decisions about what do I keep, what do I throw away, am I going to regret getting rid of this, do my parents want me to keep it, some of it belongs to them, but I was thinking I should be able to handle this. I talk to my clients about change all the time. My clients are often going through much more significant changes and disruptions than this, and yet here I am finding it kind of challenging and overwhelming. So not only was it tough, but I had this feeling that I shouldn't find it tough. So what do we do in this situation? Well, the first thing, of course, is to notice that it is a should, that you are believing something rather than something being true. It is a belief that I should, as a coach who works with people on change, be very good at change. It should never trip me up. It's a belief. It's not true. How do I know it's not true? Because I'm finding this particular change overwhelming and challenging. So once you've identified that it's simply a belief, it's simply a should, then you are freed up to see the issue itself, which is that this move is more challenging than I had anticipated. How can I simplify it? How can I make it less overwhelming? Whose help can I call on? Do I need to be more organized? Do I need to be less organized? Do I need to go with the flow? What's the right attitude towards this? And what are the right choices to make? It's very difficult to make those choices when there's a should attached. And so by identifying that you've got a being should or shouldn't going on, and then stripping that away and just looking at the issue itself, you're able to make choices, decisions from a really balanced and centered place of intuition, not ego. The third kind of should is a they should. This is like a grammar lesson, isn't it? A they should or they shouldn't. And this is really common because the easiest thing in the world to do is to blame other people. They should listen to me. They shouldn't be late every day. They shouldn't wear jeans. They should be more polite. They should take me more seriously. They should feel more engaged. They should take responsibility. The problem with these shoulds is that there's very little that you can do about it. Byron Katie would say that all of this is their business, not yours. It's their business whether they're feeling engaged. It's their business whether they take you seriously. It's their business whether they turn up on time. And the whole time that you're in their business, who's in your business? Now, of course, you may think, well, but I'm the leader. I'm supposed to influence people's behavior. Yes, by being a leader, you are influencing people's behavior, but not by shoulding all over them. The way you influence the behavior of others is turning the question back on yourself. Are you empowered? Are you on time? Are you doing the things or being the way that you expect them to be, really? There's probably plenty of work that you can be doing on yourself before you turn your attention to trying to make other people perfect. And of course, by doing this, by turning the attention onto yourself and asking, how can I be more empowered? How can I be more reliable? How can I take more responsibility? You do actually inspire others to do the same. And the final kind of should is a past tense should. I should have or I shouldn't have. And if you want, you can apply it to other people. They should have and they shouldn't have. These are shoulds that are in the past. And because they're in the past, there is absolutely nothing that you can do about them now. What you can do, of course, is you can learn from them and you can say, if I was in that same situation again, this is what I might do differently. This is what I learned from that experience so that probably will not happen again. I mean, in actual fact, it's very unlikely to happen exactly as it happened. This was the state of mind that I was in that caused me to make those decisions, and I need to choose a different state of mind if I'm to make different decisions in future. All of this is good stuff. But what you cannot do is go back in time and change the choices that you made. Something that I learned very early on when I was coaching is that people are always doing the very best they can with the information they have in that moment. You are always doing the very best you can with the information you had at that moment. Now, 2 seconds later, you might have had more information. But at that moment, the choice that you made was perceived by you to be the best choice that you could make with the information that you had. Now, someone else might have made a different decision in that situation, but they would have had different information, different upbringing, different experiences in their life, different choices seemed available to them. But for you, you made the best choice you could in that moment. So if you notice a should have or shouldn't have, a past tense should, then use it as a learning experience for future. Look at what information you had and what information you now have and what difference that makes. And of course, if it's a they should have or they should not have, think about the information that was available to them when they made those decisions and what kind of information you might want to make available to them so they can make better decisions in future. So, those are the 4 shoulds. The doing should, which is a sense of obligation or an assumption. The being should, which is a deeply held belief, which is not necessarily true. The they should, which is really none of your business. And the past tense should, which cannot be changed, but can be learned from. I hope you found today's podcast really interesting. I'm imagining you're going to be on the lookout for shoulds and shouldn'ts over the next few days. I'd love to hear how you get on with that. And if you're noticing that you've got a few going on for yourself, feel free to drop me a line. I love hearing from people who are listening to the podcast, and I'll help if I possibly can. Don't forget that tickets are still available for the Agile Working event on the 29th of March in London. Ivy is going to tell you a bit more about that and how you can get special offer prices because you listen to this podcast in a few moments. But of course, please do stay in touch with me on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, or you can email me blair@thatpeoplething.com. Until next week, have a great week and speak to you again soon.
If you would like to attend the Agile Working event in London on March 29th, 2017, we are able to offer a special price of £249 plus VAT, a saving of £150. This price is available to listeners of the Punks and Suits podcast, and all you need to do is send an email to contact@agileworkingevent.com. with the words Agile Working Event BP17 in the subject line. For more information about the event, go to www.agileworkingevent.com. Please stay in touch with us on Twitter, Instagram, and email. And remember to share this podcast with as many punks and suits as you know.